The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Inflation isn't budging. Consumer prices 3.5% higher than they were a year ago. That number higher than expected. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more on what things are costing all of us more these days.
Food prices didn't go up by as much last month, but they are still high. Housing prices continue to go up. Rent was one of the big reasons why prices were significantly higher, or higher than expected in this report. Same thing goes with gas prices. We've been seeing those ticking up over the past month.
Wall Street worried about future interest rates hikes or lack of them. Dow down this hour 383 points. Longtime Trump Organization Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg has been sentenced to 5 months behind bars for perjury. He lied under oath during Donald Trump's civil fraud trial. Women in Arizona still trying to figure out how they will navigate the new normal for abortion in their state. The Supreme Court there upholding a 160-year-old law that says almost all abortions are illegal. This is ABC News. Two Native American tribes are now suing social media companies over high rates of suicides among young people. The tribes, one based in North Dakota, the other in Wisconsin, blame what they call addictive features in platforms like Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. 25 years after a tradition turned to disaster at Texas A&M, there is a new push to officially bring it back. In November of 1999, a 60-foot stack of logs used for the school's annual bonfire collapsed.
11 students and an alum died in that disaster, but those who survived were adamant.
It's just a tradition that should not stop because of one tragedy.
Since 2012, an unsanctioned off-campus bonfire has been built and burned, but now a member of the Board of Regents has broached the idea of returning it to campus. Supervised by professional engineers, John Bellinger says it would be safer than the student-run bonfire. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
And Delta Airlines says there's no slowing down travel demand. It just reported its highest first quarter revenue in the company history. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Ehlen. Custody hold has been extended for a Milwaukee man called a person of interest in the discovery of body parts.
It all started with a severed human leg found in a Cudahy Park early last week. Since then, several more body parts have turned up in the area. The family of a missing 19-year-old Milwaukee woman is fearing the worst, although no official identification has been made. The person of interest is 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson, who has been in custody since last week. On Tuesday, prosecutors asked for an additional 72-hour hold as they await results from the state crime lab. The request was granted. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Tuesday evening, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office said someone at the Cudahy Park came across two items authorities believe may be related to their investigation connected to the leg found last week. A six-year-old boy who died from a fire in a Milwaukee duplex is identified. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner says Rashawn Wilson III was among other children being watched at his uncle's home on the city's north side last week Tuesday. When the uncle fell asleep, the kids there reportedly threw garbage on a stove being used as a source of heat, which sparked the fire. Rashawn was in the attic of the duplex when the uncle and the other kids made it out of the burning residence. Firefighters rescued the boy and took him to a hospital. That's where he died. Eric Hovde disagrees with President Joe Biden's plan for student loan debt relief. Biden introduced it Monday in Madison. The Republican U.S. Senate candidate called it unfair for the majority of Wisconsinites.
Why is it fair for somebody who never had the opportunity to go to college has to now pick up the tab for those who are getting the student debt relief?
Hovde says it's also unfair to those who have paid off their student loan debt and those who never took student loans. Hovde is challenging Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin in November. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
While the rest of the world paused during the COVID pandemic, Worthington, Minnesota has been busy. Worthington has rebuilt four parks, built an indoor turf rec center, a splash pad, a community pavilion, pickleball courts, lighted biking and walking trails, and added lake rentals. But we're just getting started. A lakeside eatery and a new outdoor aquatic center is coming. And here's the thing. Worthington, Minnesota is a great place to eat, play, live, and stay. This is your invitation. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It doesn't get much better than this. Bright and beautiful sunny skies today with high temperatures soaring 20 degrees above our average highs, flirting with 70 degrees. Clouds will thicken tonight as spotty showers push in overnight. Even a few rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 67 degrees.
Higher bean prices were knocking on the door of double digit losses. The buyers left the livestock market. Most contracts there were sharply lower.
Live from a hard day's day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we begin with a conversation with Andy Schisler from S&W Trading. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. Me? I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Lowry.
All right, Davis. Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. Beautiful day in northeast Iowa, man. Beautiful.
Yeah, samesies. Same here. 69 degrees. Medium sun, I'd call it.
Yeah. We might be... It's like we're looking at the same thing out there.
Mm-hmm. Skies are partly medium.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'll go along with that. Welcome to AgriTalk. We've got Bubba coming up here in just a bit. We had inflation data out this morning.
Oh boy.
And, I want to get his take on what he thinks because finally, there are conversations happening on the business networks about, you know, maybe this inflation thing isn't quite dead yet. It has taken a while for that conversation to come around to the general business media, but here it is. Bubba's been on it forever.
He has.
Never left it.
You know, and I believe the world would be a better place if more people would just take some time and listen to AgriTalk, you know? We could have avoided all of this.
Yeah. Could have avoided all the confusion.
Yes.
A lot of it, anyway.
Lots of it. Most of it.
Do you know how much more fun it is to live in a life of clarity?
Couldn't tell you, buddy. I've never been there. But you have fun with that, bro.
Love it. And then get your deep thinking hat on for a conversation with Andy Schisler from S&W Trading. We're going to talk about some U.S.-China relations Okay. We are going to talk about how things are set up in potentially in favor of China going forward. So we've got a lot to talk about on today's show. It's going to be interesting.
Yep.
All right, let's get to the news.
Chip wheat futures ended the day higher but settled below session highs. Hard red winter wheat futures did the best job of holding on to gains. The May contract opened near session lows and closed just under session highs. Today's close in front month HRW was the highest since March 12. The forecast is calling for a hotter and drier trend in the U.S. and the HRW wheat belt, and that limited selling in futures. Reports of increasing conflicts inside Russia's grain trade also supported U.S. wheat prices. July HRW wheat futures 13.5 cents higher at 587.75. July SRW up a penny and a half to 573.5. July spring wheat closed at 659. That's up 1.25 cents today.
Yeah, big move in the HRW market. Can you believe it? Here we are, April 10th, and maybe that was the first weather move of the year for the wheat market. I don't know. We'll keep track of it.
May corn futures opened on session lows and saw a high range close while posting an inside trading day. The sideways pattern in corn is expected to continue at least until global production estimates are updated in tomorrow's supply and demand report. Ethanol production in the weekend at April 5 averaged 1.056 million barrels per day, down 17,000 from the previous week, but up 10.1% from year ago. Ethanol stocks trimmed 208,000 in the week, but remain at a hefty 26.208 million barrels. Weather forecasters still see low risk for stress on Brazil's Safrina corn crop. May corn futures 3 cents higher, 434.25. July corn up 3.25 cents to 445.75. December corn futures closed at 470.25, up 2 cents today.
Yeah, and exactly what China is doing with imports of Ukrainian corn, that's something that I want to talk about with Andy coming up here in just a bit.
USDA this morning announced the sale of 254,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations in the 24-25 marketing year. The new crop bean sale failed to provide support for bean prices. May soybean oil futures fell to the lowest level since March 12, then turned to slightly higher levels for the close on spillover support from another rally in crude oil. Spreaders stayed on the sell side of the meal market, putting extra pressure on soybeans. May beans closed at the lowest level since March 6, with the low-range settlement posting to a test of support at 11.50. May soybeans 9.75 lower, 11.64.75. July beans down 9.75, 11.78. November beans closed at 11.69.25, down 9 cents on the day.
Yeah, within 20 cents is some critical support in that May bean contract. It was proven again today. Beans can cover 20 cents worth of ground in a short period of time. So pay attention in this bean market going into the end of the week.
Well, July cotton today was 77 points lower at 87.07. On your livestock, June fat cattle posted a high range open and a low range close, with beef prices more than $2.80 lower in morning trade. June fat cattle $2 lower, 172.85. The October contract down $1.65 to 174.07.5. And May feeders were $2.92.5 lower at 236.52.5. And on the snout side, May hogs were 222.5 lower, 96.55. June hogs down 302.5, 105.55. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
What's up, guys? There's no inflation. That's a good thing, right?
Right.
We have no inflation. At least they keep telling us that there's no inflation. And where do they think they're going to cut rates at now that the 10-year's at 4.54? I think that we got a little communication problem between the Fed, the government, and the people, because the people are getting tortured, especially the farmers, because the inputs keep going up and the outputs keep going down. But actually, I think grains have stabilized pretty well here. I'm not at all concerned that there's a lot of room on the downside. Certainly, there's always some room, but I don't think there's a lot. I think the markets have a much better chance, and it looks like they're making a nice little base here. So I would not be afraid to be long, and I'm still short cattle.
Still short cattle. Okay. All right. You and I know that there's been inflation deniers through this whole thing.
Yep.
Okay.
You should see my email.
All of a sudden, the data is starting to back up the idea that there could be a second wave of inflation and that it might just be getting started right now. Bubba, if that data starts to come in on a monthly basis over the next three months or so, there's no interest rate cuts coming, is there?
No, there's only two at this point, based on the numbers they want to report. Now, we know the jobs number was 50% was government jobs. But in what they're reporting, they can't cut rates except for two circumstances. One, if it's a political move, which it shouldn't, because the Federal Reserve is supposed to be private. And number two is if they think that there is a depression coming, in which they want to get ahead of that. But they're never going to get ahead of it. They're always, the Fed is so dumb, they're always behind.
Yeah. You know, if they start coming out with ideas of having to talk down the economy to justify lower rates, I keep waiting for it to happen. And that kind of a comment coming from the administration, I think it's just a matter of time, Bubba.
Well, again, they're not going to talk it down because obviously they're trying to get reelected. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of problems out there. This is no different than 08. It's no different than any big time in history where markets were very much overbought and need a big sell-off, and I think we're going to see it.
Okay. All right. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Good stuff, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, brother. Have a great day.
All right. Okay, coming up next, we're going to talk markets. We're going to talk China. We're going to talk U.S. relations. We've got Andy Schisler, S&W Trading.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Invita. Invita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Invita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Invita fits your farm. Invita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Invita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
Are you ready to maximize your yields? Use Germinator Steel Closing Wheels. Germinator Steel Closing Wheels provide a 13 bushel advantage per acre in no-till and a 7 bushel advantage per acre in conventional as compared to standard rubber wheels.
Caution, please confirm that you have additional space in your bin before adopting Germinator Closing Wheel Systems.
Call 712-520-6051 or visit farmshopmfg.com to place your order today.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Okay, Andy Schisler with S&W Trading is our guest analyst today. He joins us right now. Hey, Andy, how's it going, man?
Hey, going pretty good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Every now and then, my list of questions about China gets long enough that I got to get you on.
Yeah, there's been some weird stuff going on here lately with them, you know.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
hitting the news wires this week and last. So
yep, definitely.
Even today.
So we'll get to it. We'll get to that. First though, I just want to hear your general attitude towards these markets. The fund positioning, the positioning for spring. We got the supply and demand reports coming tomorrow morning. What do you make of how the grain markets are trading right now?
That's, you know, I write a commentary every morning and there's lots of stuff in it. In the end, I'll get an email from somebody and say, so what's it going to do? I'm like, go up. I just up. But anyway, so you're curious about seasonals,
yeah,
and kind of what can happen here. So I looked into it this morning, kind of stuff I just know in my head anyway. But so where prices are at on April 1st, for the last 20 years in corn and beans, we have gone higher than there. And so the price for December corn and November beans. So the December corn was $4.78 and the November beans were $11.90. And we're actually lower from there in November. But again, it's actually like 23 years that we've taken that high out. But the average rally post April 1st is 12% in corn and 12% in beans.
Wow.
And so like we usually go up. And so like if there's a time to be optimistic, I would say it's now. And that 12% equals about $13.35, and then the corn is about $5.35.
Okay.
Now there's open chart gaps in the futures contracts that we usually fill, and there's an open chart gap at 504 in corn. Mm-hmm. And the January high is 502. And we probably take that out probably 95% of the time, the January high.
Right.
And soybeans don't really follow any of that other than they usually rally right now. They don't necessarily take out January highs. It's like 50-50 because sometimes we're really pricey at the turn of the year when China finishes buying all their U.S. beans. And then we kind of deflate after that. So I think all that's possible. It's, I guess it could happen that we only see a 5% rally, but I don't know.
Yeah. Novi beans have got an open gap up there too, right? 1305, 1306.
Right. And then this percentage puts them above there.
Yep.
So I think that if you're looking for a place or a price and you're always guessing, that's as good a guess as you can do.
Yeah.
It's like if you had to do marketing and do a lot of it at once, it'd be a good place. And then also later on in the season towards August, we're almost a lot of the time we're below the April 1st price going into fall and into the end of August. So You get that window, and we know this seasonal happens. Most people would tell you this, you know, the same thing. But right, these are the numbers that are here today. And I think all of this is doable. We've seen other markets perform, whether it be gold, cocoa, briefly cotton, cattle. You know, we've had things make their run, and the funds are pretty much record short in April for this month ever. I think the last time was maybe 2019 that they were the short. And that time, and most every time, they've come out of all these shorts at least once. And I think that does develop. So I don't know when it happens, but I think it goes up, and I think we hit these numbers.
Okay.
And beans can blow through that. Like, they have a history. We've seen $3 rallies, $6 rallies, you know, 20%, 30% and 40% rallies. We've seen it. It just kind of depends on what happens here. But I think that's what you look for. I think that's probably the most important thing I say here today. One of them.
Okay. Okay. And you know, you got the seasonals, but like you said, we've got the funds in here on the short side of the market. Are the seasonals and the risk of a rally enough to get them out of the shorts? Or does it need some sort of a trigger, some sort of a catalyst to force the fund's hands here a bit?
I don't think it'll be. It really kind of depends on this interest rate thing a little bit and kind of how the dollar is going to react. But before I say that, I would say that I think it's highly likely that it happens. And you already saw the short in bean oil that was pretty hefty. They already came out of all that. And so we've seen one of the ag commodities where they came out of all the short and were mildly long. I'm going to say 6,000 or 8,000 contracts last Friday. And I think that's something that they build on over time. And the bean oil market might be the driver of soybeans to bring it up here, as the disappearance rate should be really high, even though we're going to produce more of it, which should suck down the bean stocks at the same time, as we have record crush every month here.
Yeah.
So I think that is the first signal that, yeah, we've seen it happen with one already, and we can see it with some more.
You know,
wheat, however, I don't know. there's all kinds of bullish stuff on wheat around the world. And man, it's just stayed short. But it has.
Yeah, just stayed short. But today, when we get a little bit of a comment or consensus in the forecast that maybe things are going to dry out and warm up in the southern U.S. plains, and we get a pop in HRW, and it's going to take a whole lot more than that to scare that wheat crop out there. I know that, but it was still good for some gains there today. I want to go back to something that you said. You mentioned the rally in cocoa. Yeah, you know, cotton had the spotlight for a little bit. There are other rallies in the commodity world. WTI over $85.
Yeah.
Have the ag commodities been left behind?
I think one of my old friend traders told me, he goes, just stay alive in this thing. He's been trading since the 70s. He was involved in cocoa the last time it did something like this. He's just stay alive. Something's wrong here. These prices are wrong, and it'll figure itself out. Because it's like when you look at stocks and you look at crude oil and a lot of these other things, record gold prices, we're entirely too low. And I think the cost of doing a lot of this stuff didn't go down either. So
right.
At some point we need to get paid to do it. Look at cattle prices, and we've traded huge ranges, but they're all-time highs. And like we had feeder prices that were the highest they've ever been here just recently, you know, unlike some of these November contracts and stuff like that, after we saw $50 break, you know, right before it. So, yeah, I think it can happen. I think that it's interesting because Yellen was talking with China.
Okay.
And a lot of these big policy things will kind of change what's happening here. And I thought it was curious how gold all of a sudden in an environment where they want inflation down, that the gold just came out of there and went to record highs. And it just seems so weird that, like, they tried to keep crude down, but they can't do it because the control is worldwide and we just can't do nothing about it. But with gold, we have a pretty good hand in that. But I think it's, they want to devalue the U.S. dollar versus the Chinese yuan. And I think they let the gold float. And I think that's part of what this meeting was about. So it's not something that's going to happen today. But I think they want to unwind some of this debt position. And they want to devalue the dollar. And they want the price of goods in China to go up. And they also want them to have a stronger dollar so they can afford to buy their stuff. So that both won't be real happy with this, but they can kind of get a win out of it without taking the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. So I think I thought that was really important last week, and I've read a lot of stuff about it since, but I think over time, I think that the dollar's probably going to head lower here. But again, the election's in the way, so who knows? Maybe that doesn't happen. I think it's what they want to happen, though.
Okay.
Where they didn't before.
Okay, you know, it's been within the last 6 months or so that you were on the show here and talking about the China's accumulation of gold stocks, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, is it all connected somehow, some way?
I think it is. And so they had that meeting back last fall where they took on some U.S. debt, but they've been trying to create a backing for their currency so it has some value and it's worth something, and they've continuously hoarded gold, and that makes the value of their currency more, especially as gold jumps in price, and that's something we're okay with, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just they won't raise their currency on their own, and I think we kind of forced their hand.
Okay. You know, the question that I'm going to ask you when we come back after this break is, so what's it all mean? Is it going up or going down, right?
Yep.
So we need to talk about that a little bit more. We need to do a little bit more on the prep side for the supply and demand report. We get the updates to the South American crop estimates. We'll find out what Andy's thinking about that coming up next.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls and seminar discounts, plus access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 13 and one half cents higher at 587 and three quarters. July SRW wheat up a penny and a half to 573 and one half. May corn futures 3 cents higher today, 434 and one quarter. December corn futures closed at 470 and one quarter, up 2 cents on the day. May soybean futures 9¾ cents lower, 1164 and three quarters. Novi beans closed at 1169 and one quarter, down 9 cents today. July cotton 77 points lower, 8707. On your livestocks, June fat cattle $2 lower, 172.85. October futures down $1.65, 174.07 and one half. And May feeder futures 292 and one half lower at 236.52 and a half. And on the snout side, June hogs down $3, 2.5 cents, 105.55. Try ProFarmer.com.
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in Service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It doesn't get much better than this. Bright and beautiful sunny skies today with high temperatures soaring 20 degrees above our average highs, flirting with 70 degrees. Clouds will thicken tonight as spotty showers push in overnight. Even a few rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 67 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
We are in the middle of a conversation with today's guest analyst, Andy Schisler, S&W Trading. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Andy, during the break, Davis Michelson proving that he is much, 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 much more than just a pretty face here on AgriTalk Radio.
So much more.
So much
so
more.
Much more.
Mm-hmm. The gold accumulation by China, the effort to appreciate the value of gold, is it groundwork for a BRICS dollar? And Davis, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think you're probably thinking groundwork for a BRICS dollar for, you know, a new default currency for global trade. Is that
it? At least partially backed by gold, yes.
Yeah. What do you think there, Andy?
Well, I think China wants to buy oil with their own dollars instead of use ours. And so, like, to trust that you could to so I don't think it. A lot of these countries want to do the same thing. I think there was a resistance to let gold float because they're in a war with Russia, and wheat prices have suffered, gold prices have suffered, natural gas has suffered. They can't make crude oil suffer, but they do the best they can. And it's like everything was to try to spurn Russia, and we've kind of come to a point where it's not going to change because all their money they bring in from oil. But China has been on this path since 2009, and so like they want to use their currency and not use the U.S. dollar and not be connected. But you got to trust that the bank's there to cover it in China. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, can you get your money out? Then how do you do it? And so
is there enough liquidity?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen what they do, like their stock market. It has a bad couple days and they say you can't sell stocks anymore.
Right.
So, and like real estate, right? So there's a no sale rule on real estate to stop it from going down here recently. And it's just like, so it's like, yeah, that's great, but we're not ready for that.
The real question is, if you can't sell it, does it have any value?
Well, that's what becomes really questionable, and that's like their currency, for example. It isn't based by stocks because that thing doesn't really work. It never has. Right. But so I don't know. It's as far as like their grain buying, I think they like to buy as much corn out of the Ukraine as they can and none from here. And the availability is just not there. And like, in their long-term plan was always to kind of buy as much grain out of there as possible.
Yep.
And buy a lot of Russian wheat and stuff like that too. And corn's fine, but Brazil can use a lot of their corn. And it's never really made sense to come to the U.S. when you could buy stuff that's more expensive, that you can ship and has better trade route on it. So, but they've bought a lot of U.S. beans this year, last year, and the year before, and I don't think that changes. Even though they're you hear some tough talk out there. I mean, I think the demand doesn't change a whole lot as far as they go. But we're never going to see a lot of corn from them, and it's not surprising that they went to Brazil. But the lack of Ukraine corn and the fact they did go to Brazil put our corn exports 30% ahead of pace, which is pretty bullish. So, as far, there's a lot of bullish things, I think, in corn's direction right now from a demand standpoint.
Right. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. What is happening with the signals on the production side out of China? It just a couple of weeks ago, we heard all the talk about don't use the imported supplies, use domestic supplies, stuff that's already on the ground there in China, in an effort to support the domestic price, to support extra production. And then it was just a couple of days later, there were comments and talks from Chinese officials that we can do what we want to encourage production. We just don't have the area to make it happen. I don't know what's the truth. Does anybody?
They definitely don't have more area. That's for sure. And they're pretty limited as far as the amount of feed that can be produced versus what needs to be used for food, on that land. And it's not more land that they have. It's less. And the production capability can increase. And it's been doing that at a slow pace. Although, if you look at data that comes out of China, they've never had a single weather problem ever, as their trend line just goes ever higher.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, we have weather problems here, but they don't have any. They're just higher every year. And then their corn acres is not that many. I mean, was it So like 80 million or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, total, I think something like that total. So,
yeah.
But I think it's the South American things. Like our USDA doesn't lower Brazilian production soybeans or corn. And yet CONAB is like, what, 8 million metric tons lower
right.
than soybeans and like 14 or 15 in corn.
Right.
And you can see that impact because the cash basis in Brazil is a lot higher than it was a year ago. And, you know, we're seeing some other business from that too. So I don't know if that's going to finally come home to roost tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You would think that there would be that there would be some narrowing of that gap at some point. I think USDA right now is just saying that CONAB's got their area wrong, that everybody has got their area wrong, and there's just way more acres planted to corn and to soybeans in Brazil than anybody but USDA and their satellites know. I think.
Do you think that's possible, though? I mean, how could you be that wrong or that off?
I don't know.
I just can't think that when you harvest stuff and you know the data and the acres can't change that much year to year. And like Argentina, I think is another one that's kind of weird. Because I know some people that just went down there. And like, can you see the ratings that they put out from Buenos Aires? And the ratings have been pretty poor. And it's like, it didn't seem like the weather was that bad. Like, how are the ratings that poor? And he says, well, they're just broke. And like the crops really aren't that good and there's no money. And he goes, it's just, it's not that good. And it doesn't look that great. And it's like the yields just can't be that good. And I don't know. I think that's kind of telling too. So I'm kind of more on the CONAB side as far as that Brazilian and Argentina crop. And I think it should matter, but I guess we'll see. I mean, it screwed up the cocoa and coffee market. You know, from record heat in South America this year, you know, as well as what's happened on the Ivory Coast. But I mean, I think it mattered. And I think it was a big area. So,
Okay. Well, you know, for the first time this week, I've heard the comments about, and I think it's probably been developing. How do I say this? I wasn't the first to hear it. Let's put it that way. The insect problems in Argentina, the disease problems in Argentina are real this year is what it sounds like. So that would go in line with they're broke and they just don't have the money for crop protection, I guess. So
or fertilizer for that
or
matter.
Or fertilizer,
I'm sure that's a big component of it too. He's just like, it is old machinery and it's destitute. I'm just like, wow.
Well, I mean,
surprising.
No, that's right, Andy. Don't they just plan on next year's fertilizer costing twice as much as what it did this year? That's kind of the number that they pencil in Argentina, isn't it?
Yeah, and their exports for their country were down 50% last year. So how much money is there to go around on that? Not much.
Oh.
So they probably put 50% less fertilizer on if they could do it, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, it takes a couple of years to recover from that. No question. No question.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. So I agree with you. There's going to be convergence between USDA's numbers and CONAB's numbers, with USDA moving down to CONAB's numbers, or closer to CONAB's numbers. Okay. So if that happens, is that enough to give us some strength in corn and beans?
Well, it could, and it could start tomorrow. If you look at the stocks number that we just had, I thought the acres would come in closer to where they were on a normal crop rotation. And that's what looked like happened there. Makes sense. We were ahead in exports, ahead in feed, ahead in ethanol. And the stocks report came in friendly. And so the report tomorrow will be friendly corn. And the math says it will be, and I think it will. And so like that could be a starter. But like if there's a surprise out of Brazil, then maybe that gets the funds on the wrong side of it and changes something here. But we've seen this is the hottest world weather on record. And we've seen many people have weather issues. It wouldn't take much to kick this thing into gear just from purely weather. And it's been a really warm winter too.
Yep. Yep. That's right. And you know, kicking the shorts number one, happened with the 90 million acres on corn planting intentions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you give it a second boost with some bullish numbers tomorrow, maybe we could get some short covering going in corn. That'd be cool.
Right. No, I think it would be cool. I mean, you cross your fingers, but I think we'd had about six bearish crop reports in a row before this last one with the stocks and acres. Like, yeah. I had to read it twice. I was like, is that what that really said? Like, oh, okay. Like, well, that's what I was hoping it would say. It kind of did. So
yeah.
It's just like, but we had a lot of prevent plant. It's like our acres were skewed from the last year, and this is more like what it should be, where both crops can perform more the same, you know, price wise, where one's better than the other. It's not really what you want as a producer.
Right. Right. Gotcha. All right, Andy, good stuff, man. I hope you're right. And I hope we get some movement on those South American numbers tomorrow and give the funds a little incentive to get out, bring some volatility back into the market, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Cross your fingers.
There you go. There you
Thank
go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy. Talk to you later.
Yep.
Andy Schisler, S&W Trading. Okay, so what's it all mean? We do have the numbers coming tomorrow from USDA. Davis and I will wrap up our preview work on that next here on AgriTalk.
We're going abroad for the first time in years to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Savings. Now that's speaking the Lowe's language. And with My Lowe's Rewards, your savings just keep coming. Save money with member-only offers and earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards just for you. Because Lowe's knows you earned it, literally. Learn more about our new loyalty program at Lowe's.com/My Lowe's Rewards. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Everybody, great job. Next up, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high temperature performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through April 23rd, get a $15 gift card when you buy 5 or more quarts of Edge or Edge High Mileage Full Synthetic, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Claim based on Sequence 3 H-Test versus API SP test limits.
TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN, is here to talk about why farmers are choosing to finance their land with FBN Finance. TJ, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN Finance?
Yeah, at FBN Finance, we're dedicated to family farmers. We've created an experience to provide farmers all the essential information they need during their land financing journey. We offer our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision, to access land insights and metrics, land loan calculator to view estimated rates and fees when you are ready to get pre-qualified, or you can use your online application to take advantage of instant approvals on qualified applications.
Okay, you just mentioned pre-qualification, instant approvals. Can you explain those and how they might benefit farmers?
Yeah, if you're starting your process, we offer pre-qualifications so you know your loan possibilities from the start. You can go into negotiations with more confidence and speed up the timeline when you are ready. We created an online application that will save you time and you can track your application's progress. Every minute counts, which is why we offer instant approvals where your land loan application could potentially be approved within minutes for land loans up to $2.5
million. Wow, okay. Are there any other benefits that we have not mentioned?
Yeah, everything we do here at FBN Finance is to empower farmers. With over $1.5 billion in funds committed across over 2,400 farmers and counting, we make it easy and affordable for you to finance your operation with land purchases, refinances, and improvements. In addition to our real estate offerings, ask us about how new customers can get 0% on an operating loan. And right now, we are offering AgriTalk listeners $500 off your closing costs for land loans over $250,000. All you need to do is fill out our form on fbn.com/agritalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND, that's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and mention AgriTalk.
Excellent. Thank you, TJ. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with you. Chip, it's Wednesday.
It is.
Yeah, the 10th of April. Here we are. We're at the summit of Mount Hump Day. We are here. Let's start with... Oh, here. We'll make it easy. I'll go to my first note under Bubba from today's conversation. You ready? He feels like grains are stabilizing here. Doesn't have quite so much confidence in the cattles, but is feeling like a turnaround maybe in the works here.
Yeah,
and we go on.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, quick note on the cattle. He's been on the sell side of the cattle for quite some time.
Yes,
and it. I'm not saying that he's overdone it. With that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been on the sell side of cattle for quite some time, and it's the right side of the market for right now. I don't think there's any question. So, but stabilizing in the grains, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, we would love that. And it almost sounded like Andy Schisler was faintly echoing that sentiment. Time to be optimistic is coming up real soon here.
Right, right. Can put together some positive thoughts on where this corn market might be heading. So it got me to pull up the Deese corn chart during the break.
Okay.
We've got a huge wedge formation happening on the daily chart, zeroing right in on the 470 level. And today we closed at 470.25. So we're right in the middle of where that wedge formation is. We're probably deep enough into the wedge already that it's kind of negated itself at this point. But hey, low range open, high range close today, back on top of 470 after a one day close below it. Maybe we can get things going. Now, the first thing that we need to do in Deese corn, this would be target number one if we would get some price positive outlook in the supply and demand report. Target number one is 476.5 in Deese corn. Get a close above that, it'll really improve my outlook. Then after that, the next level is 477.75, and then you get up to 481. So there are targets to the upside that are in range, easily in range of this corn market, should the funds decide it is time to get out of the short side of the market.
All right. Well,
so,
and
I don't know.
Schisler was talking about an exit from the short side of bean oil, suggesting maybe there are even 5,000-6,000 contracts long at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It didn't take long, and that's the other thing that has concerned me for a while here, and it all goes back to probably, yeah, I'm sure it was. It was 10 years ago when the funds were heavily short corn and soybeans, and all we wanted was for the funds to get out. If we could just get the funds to get off of the short side of the market, boy, look out, that'd be a heck of a rally. Well, they did it, and it was barely a blip on the charts. And it was because the commercials, who were long, which they are now, also rolled out of those long positions into short positions. So it all happened at basically the same time, and everything offset itself.
Yep.
Well, if that kind of a thing happens, again, which is very possible, we could get the funds out of short positions and not see much action or price action in corn and soybean futures from that. I should say, it's not a prediction. It's more of a warning. Mm-hmm. It's more of a warning, because the other thing that could happen is, like Andy said, beans could put on $3 just from the funds getting out of short positions. That kind of stuff happens in these markets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and one of those, that kind of stuffs, comes up tomorrow. How big a market mover typically is the April S&D report?
Yeah, not much.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, not much. And what we should be looking for, I think, is the start of convergence of this wide range of estimates for corn and soybean production out of South America and Brazil in particular. So the range, I think, is starting to narrow up. It is. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, there's no question about it. Because when we look at the average trade guess, according to a survey by Reuters, the average trade guess on Brazilian corn production, 121.75 million metric tons. The range is 118 up to 124.2. So it's still 6 million tons wide, but it is starting to narrow up, and the convergence is happening. On soybean side of things, 151.68 million metric tons is the average trade guess. The range of estimates, 148 to 155 million metric tons. So 7 million metric tons on the guess range there on soybeans. Out of Argentina, the average trade guess on corn, 55.6 million metric tons, the range of 54 to 57.75. And on soybeans, 50.48 million metric tons, with a range of 50 to 52 million metric tons. And you know what? The low end of those ranges might be too high.
Shoot.
because of some of the late season issues that are coming into the corn crop in particular. On the ending stocks for U.S. corn, soybeans, and wheat, the average trade guess on corn, 2.102 billion bushels. In March, the estimate was 2.172, so down 70 million bushels there. Soybeans, 317 million bushels, up 2 million from 315 last month. And wheat, 690 million bushels. The average trade, the March estimate was 673. So up about, what are we looking at, 17 million bushels there. The 6 to 10-day outlook from the National Weather Service, April 16th through the 20th. Above normal temperatures expected, Iowa and eastern Kansas to the east. We've got near normal temperatures expected in the western and northwest production areas. Above normal precip over the entire Corn Belt. We're going to get report and reaction from Ed Youssef tomorrow afternoon here on AgriTalk.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion, that USDA program. It's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org, paid for by Invest in Our Land.
I taught for 20 years. Until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, ask your doctor.